this point, I would invite Kingsley and Thomas forward.
Well, I am just ripping at the eye here. Thank you, Mom. It's we're going to ask actually all of the cousins and kids and my nephews and nieces and everybody come join us up here. We're going to sing a song for everybody. This is something we're going to honor Grandpa with. So there is a part at the end of this song we're going to ask everyone in the congregation to join us singing. And everyone else up here kind of knows what's going on. So we're going to pile in here and get the space and take it from there.
Hello.
So I'm back in here. I'm going to lead this thing here. We're going to have a few different, Thomas and I are each going to sing a couple verses. And then all the cousins up here are going to sing this tribute to Grandpa Walters, to Opa, and the wonderful man he was. So the song is a song we're all very familiar with, and Thomas and I will get it here going for you. So I just appreciate all of you coming up here and being here with us, and what a huge spread of family. Wow.
Shining as the sun. was blind, but now I see.
Now this is everyone in the room.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see.
Well, that was amazing, everybody. I know for sure Grandpa would have really, really dug that.
Would like to invite Tina and Debbie forward to read the scripture.
I'll be reading Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is with her. She will not fall. God will help her to break a day, at the break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The God Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord hath done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shield with fire. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress.
And I'll be reading Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations.
John Walters, a faithful servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, attended church, had a prayer life, went to Bible study, faithfully witnessed to friends and unbelievers, especially to his family, as you here are all a testimony of that today. He was a man they truly loved, a man who wasn't judgmental, a man who always saw the good in everyone. As I listened to the family reminisce about their father, it was obvious that here was a man who would not stand for anybody saying anything negative about anyone else. And his comment was, if you can't say something good about someone, don't say it at all. John was a farmer, deeply cared about the land and cared deeply about his community, giving back to as much as he could, even to the point where his wife Tina would said, no, John, not another meeting. But more than anything, John loved his family. He was so proud of you, truly loved you deeply, and as we see today with kids and grandkids and everybody up there singing Amazing Grace, you truly loved John. And one of the comments was, we didn't want to disappoint our father. John was a man of faith. Emmanuel was his church. And all of you here are an extension of his family. He was proud to walk into worship, albeit late. He loved to be here. proud to tell you, as it was said earlier, that Tina and him were the first couple to be married in this church. He knew the importance of worship. He knew the importance of being part of a community of believers. John had this uncanny ability to make you feel special when he spoke to you. His attention was fully on you. It didn't matter what was happening or who he was holding up in the line to shake the pastor's hand that Sunday. He took the time to offer you his comments about the service. And then he would look at me and end with saying, "And how are things on the farm?" For John, Sunday just wasn't a church thing. Even when he'd visit my parents, he would tell me that he would keep an eye on me as I was studying for the ministry and that I could come to him anytime that I needed advice. John lived life with joy. He embraced life, proud of his country. So how did he live with that joy that he experienced? What is joy? As we read the Psalms this morning, we see that it's happiness is an attitude. Or happiness is an emotion, but joy is an attitude. Emotions come and go, but attitudes grow and grow. And much like this contemporary society today, the Bible doesn't confuse joy with happiness. Happiness is the emotional state typically which depends on your circumstances in life. But the biblical concept of joy involves a deeper reality, a joy that is conditioned by the genuine mark of confidence, hope, and trust that extends beyond our finite perceptions. John knew happiness is temporary, but he knew that joy is more of a process of often developed most profoundly during periods of chaos and suffering. That deep, sustaining joy of the Lord comes from the assurance that he is with us and he will deliver us from our present difficulties as well as from sin and the evil sufferings of the world. John always knew that joy was seeing the stars as they shared going for the walk on the farm, seeing the love and kindness in one another. You see God, and ultimately you see victory in what you're called to do. John lived life to the fullest. He lived life to love. His passion was in what he was doing, farming and serving in his community, and he never saw it as a job. It's knowing that everything will be all right with you and that you are in the hands of God. That is joy, and it's the confidence that John exuded. When we look at the passages of Scripture this morning, we see that there's the purpose of this message are reasons why we're praising God, the nature of God, and why we should praise him. And John was very well aware of that. Verse 3 says, "It is he who made us and not we ourselves." This verse deals directly with the battle and rages in our modern world between evolution and creation. And the battle rages on as evolution is taught in many secular schools. But it's an unproven theory. And I love how the writer of this psalm doesn't stutter or hesitate or apologizes because he declares God created us. It's a tragedy that so many of our ills and in our modern society is the view of evolutionary foundation. The Bible's clear. It teaches us we're created, we're unique, we bear his image, and as a result, God deserves to be worshipped. God owns us. The psalmist says we're his people. Christians belong to God in two different ways. First, through creation, God made us for himself, so it's obvious that we belong to him. Secondly, we are Christ's through the redeeming blood of Christ. We're bought out of that marketplace of sin by the price of Christ's shed blood. Because he bought us, we're his. And that is exactly why God deserves our expressions of allegiance and loyalty manifested through praise. God is our leader. Not only is God our owner, he's our leader. And verse 3 says, we are the sheep of his pasture. The psalmist pictures God as our shepherd who leads us in the spirit of what we read in Psalm 23. In green pastures, in still waters, in paths of righteousness, we are protected by his rod and staff, and we are even protected as he leads us through the valley of the shadow of death. John, the farmer, understood the importance of caring for livestock, their dependence of their owners, and it's an amazing thought to consider that God to us like a good shepherd to his sheep. Indeed, Jesus refers to himself as the good shepherd who gives his life for the sheep. There are more people who raise sheep or look after livestock, and they understand this point very well. The shepherd never leaves the sheep. For all of us, we have this shepherd who protects us, who never leaves us, and is always there to meet our needs. To live under the watchful care, faithful provision of God himself is definitely our reason to offer him our praise. The last verse of Psalm 100 says, "The Lord is good." If you follow the news and you see all the suffering and what's going on in the world, there are many people who think that God must not be good because of what's happening in the world today. But the psalmist would not agree. God is good all the time. And I so love it to say in a church service that God is good all the time, followed by the hearty response, "All the time, God is good." It wouldn't be fair for me to say that we may never have a time in a believer's life that we would question the goodness of God. We think of what's going on in the world, starving children, the homeless, housing crisis, bad news for the doctor, and then we cry out, "Why did God let this happen?" Speaking to John one Sunday after service, he would always offer me some wisdom, and he said, "Sometimes, John, the hardest thing for us to totally understand is the truth. And it's what's told to us in Romans 8. We know all things work for good to those who love God, those who are called according to his purpose." Take a moment. Reflect. How often has God sustained you during a difficult time in your life? And then you come to realize that God is truly worthy of our praise. John and Tina's life started out difficult, becoming farmers, raising their family, working hard. Wilma said times were tough, but we were in a home where we were loved. God's to be praised for our Savior, and in verse 5 we read, "God's mercy is everlasting." Mercy is best defined not receiving something bad we really deserve. Mercy is God withholding something, the punishment which we rightly deserve. Grace is not only God withholding that punishment, but offering the most precious of gifts instead. Ephesians 2, 8, 9 is that powerful verse, "For it is by grace you are saved through faith. This is not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by your works, so no one can boast." If we have nothing else to praise for, we are to praise God. We should praise him for his everlasting mercy. Seriously, reflect on how God loves us so much. When you reflect on the sacrifice of Christ, the death and resurrection, so we can have everlasting life. It's the gift of grace that he pours out in our lives. It's truly humbling. We must never take it for granted. And finally, we praise God because he's our successor. God is the one who continues to be God to every succeeding generations. His truth continues to all generations. John would have been so proud to see all of you up here this morning singing Amazing Grace. He said that to me one day. He says, "John, I get to see generation upon generation." How cool is that? He would say with a twinkle in his eye. John knew God's faithfulness never ends. He knows and knew that it flows from one generation to the other. In all his attributes, Jesus' grace is a never-ending stream of mercy and grace. Nothing ever in the world can compare to the consistency of the truth of God. And why do we praise God? If we look at this psalm this morning, we see that there are six reasons. We start with thanksgiving, entering into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. We come to church, we come to celebrate, we come to worship, and when we worship, we take the focus off ourselves and put it rightfully on God where it belongs. And that's how we live, as the way John lived. We become spiritually healthier. We become so much more that God is Lord and not us. I think sometimes when we worship, we gather and we think that time is about us and what God can do for us, but it is thankfulness and thanksgiving to the one who he is and what he has done. Look back over the week, John said to me one time, and think of all the good things that God has done for you. Develops that sense of thanksgiving, and it puts you in a place, in a sense of wonder and awe as you worship. We're to shout for joy. Make a joyful noise. Worship is different for everyone. But I believe this psalm tells us that worship is to be active and passive, energetic, not boring, vocal, not silent. Be proactive praising God. It sometimes appears to be an effort to coming to church when it should be a time of celebration of God's goodness to us. And we can do that even in times of petition. Come before God with singing. I truly believe as we lift our voices today in singing, in praise, we're setting the words of praise to music. We should be so eager to come together into the presence of God with singing, because music is one of the most meaningful ways to draw into His presence. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth, sing for joy, sing praises. Psalm 94:8. I always watched John sing on Sunday as I was ministering here at Emmanuel. And I truly believe that it's possible through the understanding of biblical redemption and experience when you are able to sing the songs and understand what you're praying and as you're praising God through music. Let us serve with gladness. Serving with gladness. Any Christian today who's serving the Lord is worshiping the Lord at the same time. Whether it's on Sunday at church or any other day, you see it is Spirit-directed, Spirit-driven service to worship the Lord. Many years ago, as a young immigrant man, John was in this country, as you're sure, working on the Heber Down farm. John was plowing up alongside a fence row, and he saw another young man plowing along the other side of the fence row. And the first thing he said to my dad, "Can you speak Dutch?" The second thing he said, "Do you know the Lord?" John had gladness in his heart. He's serving the Lord with gladness. Sometimes we look at it as if we're doing it out of a sense of duty. Do you see how this statement connects with one another? We fail to serve Him with gladness because we failed. We come into that criticizing Him with greatness. It's significant for us to worship genuinely, to have that important influence. And John had what so many people long for. Today there are so many people searching for something that they never find. And I wonder if that is the problem with our society today. So many people are looking and yet unable to find it. John knew that God was his refuge and strength. In good times and bad, he knew how to be in the presence of God, and that is a gift that he leaves all of us to take up. Well, this all may be true. It doesn't take away from the pain that we feel today, the loss of a loved one. For a lot of us, it's hard to imagine he's gone. That sudden, abrupt end to his life, but in all of this, he has left all of us, everyone he touched, with this most wonderful gift, his faith and his love for God. It's a model for all of us, but especially to his family. This is his legacy to you. Cherish his memories to each of you. Your memories of John, Grandpa, Opa are precious, and they are yours. Speak of him. Speak of him often when the family gathers together. Keep his memories alive. Recognize that John journeyed with Christ in his life and in his death, and now forevermore his brokenness is made whole. It is his gift to you. Live your life well. Live it with God. Read his word. Read and live the living word. Be a blessing to others, and in that you truly will live. Your eternal life has begun here on earth, in the life you now live. John knew this and now lives in the presence of God. Please join me in a time of prayer. Let us pray. Loving God, in all our lives, just not John's, are in your hand. Father, we commit him into your loving arms. The Walters family, the many grandchildren and great-grandchildren have sprung from your loved one. Be near to them, comfort them, give them strength in the days ahead. Put your strong and loving arms around them in all and give them the peace of your presence. May John's faith be an example for them all. May his desire expressed in his love, the family gatherings, the smile on his face, the wave from the porch. May you hear his desire for them and love them as you love him. I pray you draw each person John cared about into your love also, that convinced that you loved him in life and death is not something to be feared because of your love for him. May their houses be and become also homes built on you. May your strong faith spring up in each of them. May your love find them all, that they may see the blessing of love and family comes from you. Your love, the spring gives life, the love to the all he loves. And I pray, dear God, that the peace of you may reign in them. Hold them close to your bosom, we pray. And we pray this all together in the name of the one, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, as we come together saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I would invite you all to please rise as we sing, How Great Thou Art.
Thank you.
People of God, receive the benediction. May the love of God and the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ bless us and console us and gently wipe away every tear from our eyes. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you, Leo. This will conclude Mr. Walter's service here this morning. Our game, thank you very much for being here with us. We are going to be going to the Cartwright Union Cemetery in Blackstock for the burial. We will not be going in a procession, but we will be meeting there, and we will meet there around 1 o'clock. That should give everyone enough time to get there safely. There are directions on the back of the bulletin, so if anyone's not sure where the cemetery is there, there's also directions to the Malcolm Farm, where the reception will be, and if anyone wants to go directly to the farm, you're certainly welcome to do so. So, at this time, if I could have the six callers, if you step forward first, please. We move to everyone in the foyer.